listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
We continue. This is Zach Yelp Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Wild card weekend in the books as it did conclude last night with the Dallas Cowboys taking it and blowing out the Buccaneers. And now let's go down to Dallas and welcome in the co-host of Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. And that, of course, is RJ Choppy, always kind enough to join us on the Zach Yelp Show. RJ, how you been?
I'm doing well, man. Could be better today. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So it was last night and the way that the game did play out, especially Brady being in his career 7-0 before last night against the Cowboys, was that surprising to you, or did you kind of look at the Bucs as a team that was a game below 500 and you expected it to be lopsided?
Yes, both. I mean, that's honestly, like, that's kind of how we felt. You know, going in, it was there was always a little bit of intrigue just because it's Tom Brady. You know, the mystique, the aura, whatever you want to call it. But then at the end of it, it's like, okay, they had 17, you know, games to prove who they were. And generally, I feel that, you know, what you are over 17 games is a pretty accurate representation of what you're going to be in the postseason. There's exceptions to that and everything, but, you know, when you struggle in that division, the NFC South, it's not very good. It isn't like the AFC West or anything. You know, it made us wonder, okay, look, they're favored on the road. They probably should win. I know the last game of the year stunk for the Cowboys, but when you get right down to it, they should have won that football game going in, and they played exactly like it. Now, I didn't think Dak was going to play that way. You know, he played as good of a game as you possibly could play in a playoff. But man, I mean that was a really impressive performance.
I'll preface my next comment by saying, even though I refer to the Cowboys as the drama Dallas choking Cowboys on the air, you're right. I was impressed with Dak last night because I think Dak sometimes gets overly criticized and the criticism is too extreme. Like, I'm not saying he's a great quarterback. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I think he's a very good quarterback. But coming off that performance, RJ, against the Commanders, I didn't think he would be flawless like he was last night.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, he is inconsistent at times. I mean, you can flip a coin and wonder what he's going to be in that game. But I do think he's unfairly criticized, but I think that comes with the territory of being the quarterback of the Cowboys. I mean, if you turn on, you know, our show ends at 10 o'clock Central Time. So, like, you know, First Take and all them are getting on in our final hour. And we kind of joke, it's like, man, what kind of Cowboy topic are they going to bring today? Because it's really all they talk about. It's like, guys, there's more things out there. But you definitely get more scrutiny. And on the flip side, you'll get more praise by being a member of the Cowboys. Like, I don't think Michael Gallup's a household name if he plays for Jacksonville. But everybody knows who Michael Gallup is around, football fans do. And you know, Dak's going to get unfairly criticized. Romo got unfairly criticized. And I think that's just the nature of the position and the team you play for.
What did you learn about the Cowboys last night?
Well, I learned that we kind of overstated the finish of the season for them. We looked at it with too fine tooth of a comb. This is a good football team. You don't win 12 games on accident very often in the NFL. I think the Vikings did. But in general, you don't win, you know, 12 games on accident. This is a really good team. And to do that in back-to-back years, I think we overlooked them coming into the postseason thinking, same old Cowboys, same old this, same old that. They'll find a way to blow it. And they didn't. They found a way to blow a team out. And that's the interesting thing. In the 21 years that I've you know, done radio here at DFW, that's probably the best playoff win out, you know, maybe including the 0-9 win over Philadelphia, which was like a blowout too. This was an impressive game.
RJ Choppy here with us. Is McCarthy definitely back next year? Does this weekend's result matter in terms of him potentially getting fired?
Oh, no, he's back. I never bought into the fact that he was going to be gone if they lost anyway, even this past week. You win the 12 games back-to-back years. The players like him. Jerry doesn't have the quick trigger that everybody thinks. Everybody thinks that he's George Steinbrenner or Al Davis. That's really not him. He did it one time with Chan Gailey. Other than that, he's never had that. Wade Phillips got, you know, 4-plus years. Jason Garrett got a full decade. Even Dave Campbell got 3 straight 5 and 11 years. I just don't see him doing that. I don't think that's who he really is. And quite frankly, he's not the same guy that he used to be. There's other people in charge here. Not in charge, but have a voice, including Will McClay, including Stephen Jones, and Mike McCarthy to an extent. Those other two guys just wouldn't go down that road.
We talk about some of the criticism directed to Dak at times being unfair. Do you feel that same way with Mike McCarthy? Because it seems for a guy that won a Super Bowl that for the last few years it's just been, when is he getting fired?
Well, I think it's the whole coaching staff. Like, you know, when do you ever hear about an offensive coordinator? Like, all you hear about, I just found out the Chargers OC was Joe Lombardi. Like, all I ever heard about was Brandon Staley, right? But here with the Cowboys, it's like, oh, Kellen Moore stinks, or Dan Quinn is the next big thing. He's the godsend. We forget, you know, like, so many people are either calling our show or texting our show talking about, we want Dan Quinn. He went to a Super Bowl. I'm like, guys, Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl. Like, we're forgetting that, you know? I think that the same thing applies to him. I mean, he could be, you know, overly praised or overly criticized. And I just think that comes to the territory.
So when you guys have, and you guys have Jerry Jones on each and every week, when you had him on last week and you guys asked about McCarthy, RJ Choppy, I thought that was a very ambiguous response, because you could take the no as, okay, yeah, we're not going to fire him, or it was more so, I don't even want to go there. You interpreted that no from Jerry Jones as he would definitely be back?
I assumed he would be back based on that response, but I do understand, like, it was kind of ambiguous, right? I just didn't think that he would actually pull the trigger. Jerry likes to, at times, kind of scare people. He likes to scare you into you know, maybe thinking maybe you work harder or maybe you do more things. He kind of likes to have people on edge. He loves to be in the news. He's got this philosophy that there's no such thing as bad publicity. And he loves having, like, when he sees those headlines on TV, I think he's sitting there rubbing his hands together like the dude in the yellow suit behind a tree. That meme. I think that's what he's doing. He absolutely loves it.
It's a great comparison. RJ Choppy here with us. So confidence now, coming off the big win, the euphoria of last night, heading into this matchup coming up on Sunday against the Niners.
I'm in the minority at the station. I think that this is an okay matchup for them, not because they match up well with San Francisco, but because they've got the quarterback advantage. I know Brock Purdy's played well, but I'll take Dak over Brock Purdy any day. The one I did not want to go to Philadelphia. If Jalen Hurts is healthy, that's a really bad matchup with the Cowboys. I hate when the Cowboys have to face a quarterback that can move, and Jalen Hurts can certainly move. Daniel Jones can move too. But, you know, I just don't think the Giants are as good as Philadelphia. I think they have a chance in San Fran. I know San Fran, number 2 through 53 on the roster, is much better than the Cowboys. There's no doubt about that. But if Dak plays the way let's just say he plays 90% of what he did last night, I mean, then they're a tough team to beat. They're going to be a really tough out in the NFC.
When you look back at last year's game, the two things that stood out to me from that wild card round performance was them just not being ready. And then late, obviously, the debacle at the end. How do you think that team is different from last year to this year when they go up against the Niners this time around?
You know, one of the big things they wanted to do in the offseason was get tougher. I don't know that they necessarily needed to get tougher, but I'll tell you, I don't think they were prepared to get punched in the mouth the way San Fran did. When they showed up to that game and San Fran hit him in the face, man, I do not think they're ready for that. Debo's got to be a nightmare to tackle. I can only imagine what a nightmare he is to try to tackle. I think the difference is that they're prepared for San Fran in terms of they know that this team is physical and they will punch you. And I don't think they were ready for that last year. I don't think they expected it. I thought they saw, hey, you know what? They got Jimmy G over there. They're not going to be good. They're not going to. They snuck into the playoffs. We can sleepwalk through this game. I don't think they're going to fall into that same trap this year.
By the way, it was kind of forgotten about because I guess he just wasn't healthy. And then you had also the airplane video as well much later on. Was Odell and the Cowboys ever close, or was that just Jerry trying to stir up some drama?
Man, that's a great question. I thought they were very close. I don't know what happened. I know Jerry loves to stir up and be in the news, but I think they really wanted him. I know Jerry did. I don't know if everybody else in the organization was on board. And I do think that is the one misnomer, is that Jerry just does what he wants. He doesn't. Like, you know, Steven and Will McClay have got a big voice. The coach, whoever the coach is at the time, is always going to have a big voice. I think Jerry did want him. He was intrigued by the idea. He loves stars. He loves names. And I think they were kind of close. And I don't know what happened. I'm dying to know what happened. Maybe it was the plane incident, but something happened to make that. I think it had a lot to do with the fact that Jerry's like, we need you this year. You know, this year is super important, and I don't think Odell can commit to that.
What's your biggest concern going into this Niners game?
Oh, man. You know, the Cowboys have not, outside of last, you know, the Tampa game, they have not been a great road team this year. You know, they do score on the road well, but they have not been a great road team. I honestly think that it's the matchups on how you're going to deal with Debo, how you're going to deal with McCaffrey. And the Niners' toughness. I mean, like, they are a punch-you-in-the-mouth kind of team. And if the Cowboys can kind of stand up to that and be resilient with it, then they've got a chance. If not, then, you know, they could easily get beat.
On the way out with R.J. Choppy from The Fan in Dallas, Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Is there some concern from the Cowboys fan base in the immediate aftermath, as great as last night was? It would be very Cowboy-like the following week to just not really show up against the Niners. Is there that concern, or does last night kind of wash it away from the Cowboy fan?
So today, we did the poll last week on, you know, will the Cowboys beat Tampa? And on Monday, it was, no, Tampa's going to win the game. By Friday, it was Cowboys overwhelmingly on the poll. We did a new poll every day. Today, we did one, who's going to win the Cowboy game, San Fran or the Cowboys? Cowboys had 70% of the vote.
Wow.
By the end of the week, I think it's going to be a little bit different. You know, like, I think fans in general are worst-case scenario. And when you haven't won and advanced in 25 years, it really becomes like, okay, we're just waiting. We're waiting for something bad to happen. I think some of that was gone like last night. That was a performance that we haven't seen from this team in 2.5 decades. So I think it's still there. I think it's the, okay, we're waiting for you to let us down. But it's a little bit of that is gone.
I'll tell you, and you should be celebrating a win like that, but I saw a lot of positivity last night from Cowboys fans that I've like never heard from in years, just starting to chirp at me on Twitter last night and basically tell me how great this team was. So I'm not surprised by the positivity, especially after last night.
Oh, chests were out. The chest was out, yeah. Right? It's bumped up, and people are walking into work just happy if they even went in. I mean, they may not have even gone into work today. They were so happy.
Well, the Cowboy fan thought they, like, ended Brady's career last night. I don't think Brady's making his decision off a loss to the Cowboys.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think they are either, or he is. But, yeah, I mean, it was like, it was one of those wins. I'll tell you, it felt like this morning, like, man, this team advanced to the Super Bowl. I'm like, wait a second.
Right?
We still have, like, 2 wins to go here. But, like, even Jerry this morning was talking about, oh, it feels so good. It tastes so good to win that game. And I'm like, man, guys, we got, like, 2 more wins here.
Did he get that McRib sandwich this morning from McDonald's with, like, a ton of salt?
Oh, man, I always thought he was a McGriddle guy, right?
Oh, McGriddle.
Is that what that was?
That was the highlight of that crappy Hard Knocks with the Cowboys. Anyway, RJ Choppy, enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the game coming up this weekend. Oh, one more before we let you go. Is there actually, you'd rather be playing than not playing, clearly, but are the Cowboys really perturbed that the 49ers got a little bit extra rest for this game?
So, the fact that not that they got extra rest, but I don't think the Cowboys liked playing on Monday. Teams that are playing on 5 days rest versus 7 days rest in the playoffs are 9-24. They don't like the fact that they had to play a Monday game and travel. That was it, you know. But like, look, they do have a good record this year on short rest. I think they're undefeated on short rest this year. But yeah, like they didn't like the fact that they're going to have to fly, you know, from Tampa to Dallas and then DFW over to San Francisco in 5 days. They didn't like that. They get it. You know, they understand why. You know, why ESPN would want that game on Monday Night Football and national TV in a primetime slot. But, you know, I don't think they like the idea of having a shorter week than everybody else.
Good deal, RJ. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Yep, no problem.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Before we get to the six teams that lost this weekend and what they need to do moving forward, I got to ask you this question. So we all know out of the quarterbacks that are remaining, the eight quarterbacks remaining that we'll all see play this weekend, that in whatever order you want, the three best quarterbacks are Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and then Josh Allen. Whatever way you want to order that up, one through three, is fine by me. Who's the fourth best quarterback that's left in the postseason when you look at the options of Dak Prescott, Trevor Lawrence, Daniel Jones, Jalen Hurts, or Brock Purdy? Who's the guy that you have the most confidence in? That's the way that I'll ask it moving forward the rest of the postseason, Hickey.
This is tough. I have to say it. It has to be Brock Purdy.
Wow.
Has to be Brock Purdy. He's not had a bad game. Part of that is also
over Jalen Hurts, who's playing MVP ball?
Because I don't think Jalen Hurts is healthy.
Well, he's not on the injury report now.
Well, right, but I mean, Nick Sirianni was basically talking about how much pain he was in after the Week 18 game against the Giants. That tells you right then and there he's nowhere. Like, he's not close to 100%. I give him credit for toughing now, and he's a very tough kid. He is not near 100%, and that is concerning. And again, Brock Purdy, small sample size. Part of it's him. Also, part of it's his skill set around him, and also part of it's Kyle Shanahan doing a great job scheming up and calling great plays. It's all equal right now to Brock Purdy having basically a really good to great game every single week.
Now, I'm going to argue this in a second. I'll give you my answer in just a second, but I'm laughing at one thing that you just said. And I want to know your ruling on this. You just referred to Jalen Hurts as a kid. You're 28 years old. Are you allowed to refer as a guy that's 24 as a kid? Or are you too young still to be calling anyone that's in their 20s a kid?
No, I'm probably definitely too young. I'd say I have to reach 40.
Or it has to be someone that is in like high school or younger for you to refer to them
under
as a kid.
13.
Yeah.
Maybe 16.
Hey, like you don't refer to, for example, can't say Stetson Bennett.
He might be older than me at this point.
I don't know, like J.J. McCarthy or C.J. Stroud. Can you refer to them as a kid? I think it's high school or below for our age bracket.
I would probably agree with that.
Okay.
So he's a tough guy. I'm sorry. Jalen Hurts is a tough dude. How about
man.
That? Can you say dude?
Man.
Man. He is a man.
I'm a man. I'm 24. Come on, Hickey. I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts. And I get it, right? You could have concern about all these quarterbacks, and the only concern you could have with Jalen Hurts is the health, and that's a big one. But when healthy, and there's a difference between you being injured and then you being hurt as well. And I'm looking at that. I don't know what the percentage is. He's not 100%. But with what he's been able to do, the team around him, I will go Hurts. I look at Daniel Jones. I think Daniel Jones had a remarkable season. I don't know how far he could take the Giants this year. Dak Prescott, there's been inconsistencies. Even the last night, he was wonderful. Trevor Lawrence, I don't think he's going to have another game where he throws four interceptions in the first half. But I don't know if there's going to be this weekend, he's throwing four touchdown passes against Kansas City. Then for Brock Purdy, he's playing great, but it's still a little premature for me to say that he's the fourth best quarterback remaining in the postseason, even though the team around him is great and he's playing his ass off. And you saw some jitters in the first few drives, and then he knocked those jitters right out of his system, and they dominated the Seahawks. But I got to see a little more from Purdy on the big stage before I put him in front of a guy, or think about putting him in front of a guy that has that was right in the MVP conversation up until he got hurt. So I would say right now Hurts is the fourth best quarterback remaining in the playoffs. But that's a I'm going to ask that with every guest that we have on the rest of the week. I'm going to ask that question. Outside of Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen, who's the quarterback that you think you have the most confidence in out of the other guys that are remaining, the other five guys that are remaining in the NFL postseason? Okay, the teams that lost this past weekend. Let's go back and forth here. Team that lost, what they need to do in the immediate future. For the Chargers, I guess the first thing I turn to is now who's going to be the offensive coordinator. Because Brandon Staley in the NFL has been a defensive-oriented guy. And the offense, even though, right, there's been moments like last year against the Raiders where that wasn't the reason why they lost. And this year, they played a great first half, then did nothing in the second half. But then you can make the case, oh, what did the offense really have to do in that game when they got gifted great field position with all the interceptions that they were forcing off of Trevor Lawrence? But for Brandon Staley, and it's difficult because there's a lot of times when a coach is on the hot seat and let's say they're bringing in a coordinator, it's not that attractive. But with the potential of Herbert, I think that job is very attractive, the offensive coordinating job, because if you have success with Herbert, who knows, maybe you're the head coach next year in LA, or you could kind of parlay that into a job somewhere else as a head coach if you have aspirations to be a head coach. Like, you look at the Jets' offensive coordinating position and the Chargers' offensive coordinating position as they fired Joe Lombardi today. And we know Michael Fur is not coming back. The Jets don't have a lot of upside, even though the roster's good, in terms of wanting someone to be the offensive coordinator there. And I think you get a retread guy or not a desirable guy, just kind of like how McAdoo had to go to the Panthers, because what other job are you getting this year? Because you don't have a quarterback. And if this is one of your last opportunities to get a job in the NFL and get a coordinating job, are you really going to hitch your wagon to the Jets if you are a top offensive coordinating name? I would say no. You look at the Chargers, you have Mike Williams, you have Keenan Allen, you have Austin Eckler. Obviously, you have the quarterback in Justin Herbert. I would look at that job as a very attractive offensive coordinating job if I'm looking to eventually become a head coach one day, compared to some of the other jobs that are open if you're not ready to become a head coach now and looking to be an offensive coordinator. So for the Chargers, I need a strong offensive coordinator in there where you could allow Brandon Staley to basically just focus on the defense. I know he's still going to delegate, but bring in someone that's respected and has a pass in this league. Let him do the play calling. And even though a coach always dips his toes right in the water, do we go for it or not? But take some of that burden off the plate of Brandon Staley. Because I'll say this about Brandon Staley. Last year, too aggressive. This year, at times, Hickey, it felt like he let that outside noise get to him. And just the, I don't know if the numbers back this up, but just the feel, he wasn't aggressive enough. It seemed like he catered too much to the mob. Don't be that aggressive. Don't be that aggressive, which you can't be that aggressive. But it seemed like he totally put the reins on this offseason and halted the aggressiveness of Brandon Staley. So I would allow most of those decisions next year to be made by whoever you bring in as this new offensive coordinator. That's my thought on the Chargers.
Here's a name for you really quick. Frank Reich.
Not bad.
Aggressive.
Now, I've said this before about Frank Reich. I think he's a really good coordinator. I didn't love him as a head coach. His teams were never really prepared this past year. But he's never had, outside of Luck, but Luck retired, walked away, injured, all that. He's never had a quarterback like Justin Herbert that you look at and you say, wow, this is a guy that he could be a guy for years and years to come, because Luck was that guy. But unfortunately, we knew the injuries played a role, and then he retired out of nowhere. And you got Phillip Rivers, you knew that was going to be 1 year. Carson Wentz, I know that was his guy, but I knew that was going to be a disaster. Matt Ryan, Not a lot of shelf life left in him. Yeah, I think Frank Reich, actually, Hickey, would be a really damn good choice. And he has history with the Chargers organization before, too.
Right. Going back, I guess, could we even say back home? Because they moved, because he was in San Diego by that point. So maybe not back home, we'll say, but go back to, you know, his former team. I'll go establish a run game, because part of the reason why they lost that 27-0 lead, they cannot run the ball. They are too pass happy. You have 25 pass plays called after you're up 27-0 compared to 8 runs. They cannot run the ball when you know you're running the ball. And that's part of the success for playoff teams all throughout the league, is when teams know you're running it, trying to salt away the clock late in the game, you have to be able to run it. The Chargers absolutely cannot do that. You got to be able to implement a physical run game going forward.
So then what would you kind of, because obviously Austin Eckler is your best running back, and he's a touchdown machine, and he had over 100 catches this year and almost 1,000 yards running the football. You're saying they need to bring in another running back? Is that what you're saying? A little bit more of a physical running back?
More of a different identity on offense that's more physical, even on the offense. Let me change it up on the interior and try to get some maulers down. Like it's all, you know, it's all levels of play calling on your offensive line and your running backs, and that adds to an identity.
Well, just to remember, you had a rookie right guard in there in Zion Johnson, who I thought did a good job this year. Corey Lindsey's still a very good center in this league. You get Rashawn Slater back. I don't think that was highlighted enough, the loss of their left tackle this year in Rashawn Slater, because he is an unbelievable young football player. All righty, let's go to Seattle. I need to know what the contract length is this offseason on Geno Smith. I don't think they're going to franchise tag him. Maybe they will, but I would say right now, no. I think ideally, if you are committed to bringing Geno Smith back, which it seems they are, it's got to be probably, because he's looking for multiple years, I would only be willing to go 3 years. Like, that's the max for me, 3 years for Geno Smith. Because unless there is a very easy out for the fourth year, because you got to give yourself some insurance. Because even though Geno played really well on Wild Card Weekend and historically has the most passing yards in a single season by a Seahawks quarterback, I just don't know how sustainable that is. Now, he sent a big message up until that fumble in the game, and then everything unraveled this past week up against the Niners. But I need to know the years on that contract to see how long Geno really is, quote-unquote, the guy for the Seattle Seahawks. And I think the years in that contract would be telling. I would go no more than 3 years.
Development. That's the word for me for the Seahawks and what they got to do. Because you look at their team, to Pete Carroll, John Schneider's credit, they do have a lot of building blocks and possible cornerstone players that are so young in years one and two, all throughout this team on the offensive line, on their defense. You continue to develop. This team in a year or two is going to be really damn good.
Whoa! Hold on. Sorry, my headphones fell off there. Is that you singing the praises of the Seattle Seahawks now all of a sudden?
That's right. Yep. They've done a better job than I could ever anticipate. And a lot of it's been on players they have gotten in the last year or two. I'll give them credit. Credit where credit is due.
Because you really, and I'm not going to lie to you. Like, yeah, obviously we all thought the Broncos won that trade and everyone was wrong on that. But you really took it to Pete Carroll as if, after this year, he was going to be fired. He was going to be done. He was going to have to retire. You have now done a 180 on the Seattle Seahawks, a complete 180.
I would have fired him last year, and I didn't give him this year. So there you go.
Shows you why you're not a general manager and owner of an NFL team. Well, a lot of other reasons, too, but we won't need to get into those. Dolphins, I need to know how much after this offseason they really love Tua. Because they say they love Tua. I think they would pick up his fifth-year option. They got to make that decision because he just wrapped up year number three. I think they should maybe learn from the Giants, where I do believe the Dolphins had more of a belief in Tua right now than, let's say, the Giants did in Daniel Jones last year when the Giants declined his option. But there really is no risk in terms of what the potential pay would be if Tua does play well this year or this next year in picking up that fifth-year option. So I want to know if they do that. I also want to know if they explore other places, because the last 2 years they've said, Tua's the guy, Tua's the guy. We've all rolled our eyes because they flirted with Deshaun Watson. They flirted with Tom Brady, right? They had their hands in the cookie jar when it came to a bunch of different quarterbacks, and they kept on saying, because they didn't get those quarterbacks, that Tua's their guy, Tua's their guy. Now, there could be a question on how good Tua is, and Tua had a good season, but he also did get hurt, and that is a major concern when you suffer multiple concussions. One more hit, and his career could be over, so I want to see this offseason if they actually do believe Tua is the guy, and it's answered in two ways. Do they pick up the fifth-year option? And then also, do they elect to explore other avenues to bring in someone that is either better than Tua or one day can replace Tua Tagovailoa? That's what I need to see from the Dolphins.
I need to see them address the pass rush situation. Part of the reason why their defense is not very good is they don't really generate a lot of pressure on the quarterback. You have Jalen Phillips, who's a really good year so far, or this year, not so far, it's over. And Christian Wilkins is solid on the inside, but it's like that Bradley Chubb trade, for the most part, big swing and a miss, did not work out whatsoever.
Very disappointing.
And, you know, when you're giving guys like Josh Allen all the time in the world, they're going to pick your part. And that's part of the reason why we've seen it, whether it was the Chargers game, whether it was the 49ers game, whether it was just past weekend in Buffalo as well. They cannot get pressure on the quarterback, and they get picked apart, especially when they play good teams.
Vikings, simple. Revamp the defense. No further explanation. That team is not going to go to the level that Viking fans want them to until they fix that defense. The offense was not the problem this year. I know we could all get on Kirk Cousins for throwing short of the sticks, but he played well enough to go win that game up against the Giants on Sunday. That defense could not stop a nosebleed. They were absolutely horrible. And they're getting, and you look at some of those pieces, they're getting old on defense, the people that you thought were the known commodities there.
I agreed. I mean, whether it's free agency, cap space, whether it's draft, or it's making a trade, you got to put almost all your resources this offseason into beefing on that defense on all three levels, because they were hot garbage.
Ravens, simple. You're going to get a Lamar Jackson contract done. I need to know that at the end of this offseason, because if you don't, I don't think you're ever getting that deal done long-term with Lamar. And if you franchise tag him twice, you're not going to run the risk of having him walk the second time. So I would look at Lamar this offseason, and if you can't get the deal done, I think you go one or two ways. You could then trade him this offseason, or you could then trade him the next offseason, because if they don't get that Lamar Jackson deal done this offseason, and it's 3 years in a row where they don't get the deal done, I don't think they'll ever get the deal done if they don't get it done this offseason.
They got to get back on the same page. Whether it's last offseason with the owner and the GM calling Lamar out for not wanting a contract or talk, and then Lamar said, no, I'll talk. Whether it's this year, how they handled Lamar's injury, and there's not a lot of communication of when he's coming back, if he's coming back. J.K. Dobbins speaking out about his role now. This has been a dysfunctional organization all year long. It's been one of the most well-run teams of the last decade by far, at least since John Harbaugh's been there. So this is, they've gone off the rails. They got to get back. Got to get back on.
So for the Bucs, I'm going to say they're now entering what you would think is a rebuild. And I got to know if they're definitely going to be rebuilding. Because if Brady comes back, which I don't think is likely, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I don't think it's likely. I do think Tampa, that won a Super Bowl 3 years ago, starts to enter that rebuild mode with some of these players that are getting older. So I got to know this offseason, is Tampa going through a rebuild, or is it just a year where you reassess, retool, and kind of fine-tune your team to get them back to being a Super Bowl contending team? I think they're moving closer to a rebuild in Tampa than it is to winning another Super Bowl again, because I think Brady's walking right out the door.
You got to fire Todd Bowles. That's my resolution for you. He's not a very good coach. I think this is an attractive job if it's open. I think this is a team that is, for me, not close to rebuilding. They're closer to the playoffs next year than they are a rebuild. I think this is an attractive place if Tom Brady does leave. If you want to get a guy like Derek Carr, I think you can make the playoffs with a quarterback of that caliber. But it all starts with the head coach. Todd Bowles is not a good head coach. He's a great defensive coordinator. Cannot lead your team. You got to move on. You actually got to bring someone in there that you could go through the interview process with and not have the job handed to him. And actually bring a head coach that can get the most out of this team, which Todd Bowles clearly cannot do.
I know you predicted earlier, and I disagreed with this prediction, that Sean Payton and Tom Brady would be a tandem and a duo together in Tampa Bay. Let's just say that does not happen with Sean. Is Todd Bowles back? Not should he be back. Will he be back? If, let's just say, your prediction comes to be wrong.
If Tom Brady is gone, I will say yes. If Tom Brady returns to Tampa, I will say, even if it's not Sean Payton, I'll still say no.
But didn't Tom Brady want Bruce Arians out and Todd Bowles in?
How did that go for him?
It didn't work well. I get that. But
if he's going to return to the Bucs next year, and again, Sean Payton's not going to be there, I don't think he's signing up to go back to the Bucs to run it back with the same group of guys.
Well, now, maybe the core Byron Leftwich will be out. That's what one report says. He's already out.
I think you would, whether it's another offensive mind, whether it's just someone who's a CEO role, I think Tom would push some buttons, and we've seen him get what he wants before.
Yeah.
I think he would try to make some magic happen.
Well, I think that would be more likely, as reports are, and we'll see if this is actually gets confirmed and the Bucks make an announcement or not. It looks like Byron Leftwich is out, so if Tom's going to be back, you could still have Todd Bowles be the head coach. He's basically the de facto defensive coordinator, and then Tom Brady's basically running the offense, and whoever he brings in, a.k.a. would just be Tom Brady and whoever Brady wants being the offensive coordinator there. I would think right now, barring Brady saying he has to get fired, Todd Bowles, which I don't think he would do, I do think Todd Bowles is going to be back as the coach of the Bucks next year. And don't get me wrong, that's a major mistake because Todd Bowles, as you said it perfectly, phenomenal defensive coordinator, horrible head coach.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, we do got some breaking news, so we'll do overreaction, proper reaction later. According to Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network, Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson has informed interested teams he's staying in Detroit, per sources. Johnson was slated to travel Wednesday to interview with the Panthers, but he feels Detroit is building something special and wants to see it through. Should be a hot head coaching name once again next year. Now, a few things. Number one, shows you how vastly improved the culture is of the Detroit Lions. Someone wants to stay in Detroit. And we know that they started off the year poorly and they finished red hot and they ended up 9-8. And if the Seahawks would have just lost that game up against the Rams, which was possible, they would have gone to the postseason because they did beat the Green Bay Packers. But really, I think it's telling about what it says about these jobs, because Ben Johnson, according to reports, and who knows what's true or not, he was the leading candidate in Carolina. Now, maybe Ben Johnson heard some things about how it's not all that pleasant to maybe work for David Tepper. Or maybe he looks at the Panthers' job as not that attractive. And that's what I'm really going to go out here. These five jobs that are available, I don't think they're that attractive. There's not a must-have job. I know it's so rare. I know they're all coveted. There's only 32 of them. And you never know when you're going to get a job. But that Indianapolis job, they don't have a quarterback. I know they have a good draft pick, but doesn't mean that it's always going to work. Look at the Cardinals' job. Is Kyler Murray great or is he just good? And you got money tied up to him and he's not going to be available most likely next year. The Broncos, you're in a division with the Chiefs. Say what you want about the Chargers, but the Chargers are better. And I don't know what Russell Wilson's going to be moving forward. The Texans, they've been a dumpster fire. So you go around the league and you look at these jobs that are available. It makes you wonder if maybe some of these candidates that are some of the bigger names out there, and Ben Johnson has been a name that's been extremely hot as of late in NFL circles, if they're just saying, Hickey, where you look around and you see the lay of the land with Denver, and you see the lay of the land with Indianapolis and Houston, and you look at the other two jobs that are available as well, Arizona and the Panthers, maybe a lot of these candidates are saying, if I'm a big name now and I'm near the top of the list, maybe I'm going to wait until next year. And I think that is a major thing to watch. Like, Jim Harbaugh didn't take a job. Is it because he was trying to negotiate things, or was there maybe not as much interest as he thought? I don't know, but it's starting to seem like he's just keep on trying to get more and more in the contract. And who knows what, if there even is a new agreement, what those details are going to be, because they haven't come out yet. For Sean Payton, one day you hear he wants a Cardinals job. Then the Cardinals, they do go out there and they hire Monty Austin for it to be the GM. One report says, yeah, really doesn't have to do much. There's another report that says now that the Sean Payton camp is annoyed. McVay, one day he's going to retire, the next day he's not. Like, I just wonder, A, how attractive these jobs are, which I don't think they are, and B, if some of the bigger names are saying, yeah, I'll wait next year, where we had 10 jobs open up a year ago, now only five, and I don't know if that number is even going to increase more than five. I'd probably say right now, probably not. Like, I think McCarthy's safe in Dallas. I look at the Bucs job. I don't think that's opening up. You know, Dennis Allen's now going to be back with the Saints. Is there always a chance that Sean goes back to New Orleans? I guess. But Hickey, it seems like these jobs by some candidates, they're basically saying, yeah, I'll wait and I'll stick where I am. And I'm going to be patient instead of taking a job in my first opportunity. You may only get one opportunity to be a coach in this league instead of going to a place that I know is not a desirable destination or thinking I could be better in a better spot if the market resets itself a year from now.
And another thing coaches are realizing, too, is that patience is impossible to have no matter where you are, no matter what owner says and promises in the interview process. Patience is not a thing anymore. So you have now 2 years, 3 years to make the playoffs, get things turned around, and you're coaching for your job. So if you look at a job like the Panthers or the Colts and you're saying, can I get to the playoffs of this team in 2 years? If the answer is no, you probably shouldn't take the job. Because, again, even though the owner can give you a seven-year deal like we saw David Tepper give Matt Rhule, or the owner can preach patience and, oh, this is a rebuild and we're going to talk about how long it is to take to turn this roster around, the reality is in a year or two, everyone gets a patient, the fans turn on you, and then you're out of a job, then you're labeled as a bad head coach, even though maybe it's not your fault because the roster's not very good. Now there's no reason to take a bad job if, again, just because it's a job. More and more people are wising up and realizing it's playoffs now or bust. If you don't think it's a playoff caliber team soon, don't bother taking it.
So 5 days ago, I put out my coaching predictions. I had the Panthers keeping Steve Wilks, the Broncos hiring Jim Harbaugh, but then I wrote, I keep on vacillating between it being Harbaugh or Dan Quinn. I then had the Cardinals trading for Sean Payton, the Colts landing D'Amico Ryans, and the Texans hiring Jonathan Gannon. Now, let me ask you something. Have the Colts even requested an interview yet with D'Amico Ryans?
Yes.
They have. But they have not interviewed him yet, or did they interview him?
No, today would be the first day you could do so.
Okay.
I think it's later in this week, I believe.
Gotcha. So I'm going to stay now with Ben Johnson, who's rumored to be the front runner in Carolina. I'm going to stay with my prediction that the Panthers keep Steve Wilks. Now Harbaugh's out of an NFL job staying at Michigan. I'm going to then say that Dan Quinn's going to get the Broncos job. Until we get a little bit more clarity in the Monty Ossenford stuff, I will still say the Cardinals trade for Sean Payton because I don't know if Sean could sit out another year. I think he's really itching to take a job. And then I went with the Texans hiring Jonathan Gannon. I'll stick with that. The Colts one is where I may reverse that. Now, they interviewed Eric Bieniemy. They interviewed Raheem Morris, just to name a few. I'm starting to think, and I don't know, like, D'Amico Ryan should absolutely get a job. And maybe I'm just getting caught up in the moment of who they've already interviewed. I'm starting to think Bieniemy. I'm starting to think Raheem Morris maybe for that job. But in a weird way, expect the unexpected with the Colts. I would have said I'd be stunned if Jeff Saturday's back. If you tell me at this point, as we're talking about, a lot of these people maybe turning down the job, or a lot of these people saying we'll wait a year as the head coaching candidates, it would not shock me if Irsay brings back Saturday. I'm not saying it's likely, but at this rate, Hickey, it would not shock me.
I would be shocked.
I would feel bad for
floored.
You.
I would be floored. That's for sure. There's no way it's happening.
I don't know. The fact that he's even getting considered does scare me a little bit. I would just tell him outright, no, you're lucky we just gave you the job. Go back to ESPN. So that's where I'm at right now. I'll stick with the Panthers keeping Steve Wilks. As between Harbaugh and Quinn, I will go now to Quinn. I'll stick with the Cardinals trading for Sean, the Texans with Jonathan Gannon, and the Colts. I think that's the least desirable job, maybe. And even Sean Payton, like, they didn't even request an interview yet with Sean Payton. All the other teams did. So I don't know who the heck's going to get the Colts job, or it's tough to guess. I went with D'Amico Ryans. You tell me it's Raheem Morris. You tell me it's Eric Bieniemy. Since they both interviewed already, maybe that's more likely.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.